You ready for another day?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Glad to hear it. We need to keep in prayer. I understand some of the brother are going to be heading out this week, tomorrow, I think. Or no, I think you're headed out today, right? So they're headed to Poland, so let's keep them in prayer. They're going to have a little mission trip to Poland, so keep all those guys in prayer and our missionaries in Poland as well. Don't forget there's a mission conference coming up at the end of July, the last week in July. Looking forward to that. Amen. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, going through we've gone through much of the life of Peter, but now we're looking at his letters, his epistles that he wrote, to get an insight to the man called Peter, Cephas. We'll begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your grace and mercy that you gave us in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the salvation that you've given to us. We thank you for the freedom we have to meet in your name, to glorify you. I pray that you'd bless everybody in the sound of my voice. Anybody that's not saved, may they come to know you as their Savior. Bless those that will be traveling today and tomorrow and this week for the conference there in Poland, and bless all those that will be traveling and the missionaries there in Poland and the evangelistic effort that will go out. Lord, may souls be saved because of it. Bless the mission conference coming up as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before I begin this morning, I need to read something. Somebody sent me a text. Hopefully you can help me. Somebody said there is a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. This is not a hostage situation. So I will try to get through this. I know we're plowing through Peter, and we've been here in this epistle for a while. But this man named Peter, he was just a fisherman. He just had a business of fishing, yet he had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked with the Lord for 3 years. Maybe on the outside you wouldn't think of him as a spiritual man. He was probably pretty rough with his language, no doubt. He was probably rough with his character. But this man, as we go through his epistle, evidently and clearly, I should say, clearly had some spiritual insight. Amen. He got some revelation from the Father himself, not from flesh and blood, but from the Father himself. And he spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells these believers that he's writing to, he tells them, I know you haven't seen him, and yet you believe. But he's telling you from the perspective of a man that did see him.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. So here we are talking about Peter. We talked about the inheritance, the salvation. We talked about salvation being, in a sense, three parts. In God's estimation, it's completely done in Christ. But in our experience, we see salvation touches our spirit, our soul, and our body. And one day, as we sang, we're going to fly away. Amen. We're going to be up in heaven. Amen. With him. We're still waiting for that. But if we read over in Ephesians, it says we are already in Christ, in the heavenlies, in Christ. So that is a spiritual aspect of it. One day we're going to be completely free from the body of this sin. We're going to be completely free from the afflictions that afflict us every day. And as Peter begins to write here in this context we're going to be reading this morning, we're going to be free from trials and temptations. What a blessing that's going to be. But right now, we're pilgrims. We're just walking through this pilgrim land because we see a city. whose builder and maker is God. And we just live in a tabernacle, a tent right now, but one day we're going to have a permanent residence in the glories of heaven. Thank God for that. Notice what he says here. I'm going to pick it up in verse 6. We left off in verse 5. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Well, we got to figure out wherein is, what is wherein? Wherein, in that salvation that he talked about, in all the aspects that he talked about up to this point, in that salvation we greatly rejoice. What does he say? Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, isn't it amazing the combination of words here that you can rejoice even though you are in heaviness? That's what Peter said. Peter understood something. He spent some time in a jail cell. Yeah. So he understood what it was to be persecuted. If tradition is right, he was crucified upside down. So he knows a little bit about persecution. He knows a little bit about suffering. And he says, if it need be, if we need to suffer, if we need to be in heaviness, we still rejoice in what? In that salvation that he's given to us. We are the elect of God, as he tells us here, through the foreknowledge of the Father. Amen. Thank God for that. We've been sanctified by the Spirit of God. And we have, as we talked last week, that hope of salvation that we're waiting. One day, as it says over there in Romans chapter 8, the whole world groans. And we're groaning. We're waiting for that day. And one day we're going to hear the trumpet and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that's going to be. Just want to pick up some things. I'm not going to go in the order here and the way it was read, but I just want to pick up some things just to set the stage here. He says, though now for a season. Did you know God has a different time or a calendar or a clock than we do? We measure the day by 24 hours. There's a verse somewhere in the scripture that says a day of the Lord is like 1,000 years. So God is not on our time clock. He is eternal. And he measures things by eternity. We measure it by the clock on the wall. Yeah. And that's why some of you think this is a hostage situation, because you're measuring it by. I'm just going to be speaking for one day on God's calendar. Don't worry about it. So we'll be all right. Look over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to use it. So get ready to use it and thumb it, as Brother Lindo used to say. Hebrews 11 verse 25. Choosing rather, it's a choice, choosing rather to suffer the affliction, suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Peter says you might suffer for a season, but there's a choice. We can choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin, but mark it down, it's only for a season. It's only for a short time in God's estimation. But the converse is true as well. We can choose to suffer with the people of God and suffer afflictions, whatever it may be, cruel mockings, it says in one place. We can choose that because it's only for a season. Sometimes in God's providence, it need be that we suffer. And he says the trial of our faith is better than gold, much more precious. Is just a season. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's hear what Paul has to say about these things. And remember what we pointed out in the last 2 weeks. It's easier to go through any type of suffering, any type of affliction, if you know the end. If you want, and I've given this example numbers of times because my son is a big basketball fan, and if you watch the rerun of the game, your emotions stay on an even keel. If you're watching the game live, your emotions are like this, especially if you're rooting for your team to win and they're behind by 10 points. But if you know the end, even when your team is behind by 10, 15, 20 points, and you already know your team is going to win, You're not affected by a 20-point deficit, right? Let me ask you, brethren, do we know the end?
Amen.
Then what is it if we're in a 20-point deficit? We already know we're going to win.
Amen.
Keep your hats on, boys. We're going to win. Don't worry about it. We already know the end. We're going to win. Yeah, I'm sitting in a jail cell. Don't worry about it. I'm coming out of this jail cell pretty soon.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm in the belly of a whale. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get spit out pretty soon.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm in a boat and it's raining for a real long time. It's all right. The doors are going to open pretty soon.
Amen.
What does he say here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14? Knowing, do you know this? Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. Do you know that? That's a promise, brethren. That's a promise that should be able to take us, if we take it by faith, take us for whatever temptations we go through, whatever trials or suffering or afflictions that we go through, because it's just for a season. One day that trumpet's going to sound and we're going up, up,
Amen.
And up.
Amen.
Knowing that which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen to what he says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brethren, if we can get this scriptural perspective on things, it will change our attitude when we go through afflictions. And really, let's be honest here. We really haven't gone through any afflictions. Nobody is getting beat up and thrown in the jail yet. For the vast majority of sitting in this room, we've never been in a jail cell. There are some exceptions. But the vast majority, we've never been in a jail cell for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've never been hit with a stone. Nobody's ever punched us. Nobody's ever tried to knock us out. Nobody's ever really threatened our children. There are a few exceptions. But for the vast majority of us, what is our affliction? Oh, I gotta go to church on Super Bowl Sunday. It is so tough. Oh, I am going to prayer meeting and the Spurs are playing tonight. It's so tough. You know what? This man, Peter, you know what he'd do? He would laugh at us. He would say, what are you... What is that one preacher said? He said, you bunch of chocolate soldiers. What was his name? I can't remember his name. C.T. Studd, you chocolate soldiers. You would melt at the first heat wave.
Amen.
But brethren, if we can get this perspective that Paul and Peter and the scriptures are giving us, that in God's timetable, if we can get a hold of that by faith, taking God at His word, trusting Him, then we can go through whatever afflictions may come our way. Because we know the end. We also know that God's timetable, it's just a moment. It's just a season, if need be. And thank God for that. Paul says, and have you ever read the afflictions that Paul went through? A night and a day in the sea. Beaten multiple times, scourged, in the jail cell, stoned and left for dead, beat up. He says, our light affliction.
Wow.
Our light affliction.
Yeah.
I think he's got God's scale there. He's putting it in God's perspective. We would think, oh, that's, you're suffering for Christ. These are tremendous things. But Paul said, no, this is just a light affliction in comparison to the glory that's going to be. You have to have perspective. If there is no resurrection, We are all men most miserable.
Right.
But if there is a resurrection, then come what may, it really doesn't matter.
Amen.
Yeah, because I'm going up.
Amen.
And you're going up.
Amen.
We're going to fly away.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what Peter's saying. All of the first few verses in his epistle that he's writing, he's getting us prepared for this. Listen, our salvation is coming. Yes, we are saved now, but our salvation of this body, we're going to be liberated from it. We're going to shed this tabernacle and we're going to be in the presence of God, practically speaking. And he says, it's just a light affliction. It's just a moment. It's just a season if need be. And what does he say? We rejoice. He says, in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yeah, it's not, listen, let's be real. Let's always be real. Let's not put on a show. Let's be real and practical. Sometimes it is hard to serve the Lord. Let's be honest. Sometimes, be honest, reading portions of the Bible is difficult. Bunch of pious guys, I'm telling you what. Sometimes you're wading through, you know, three cubits wide, four cubits high. I mean, that's difficult. I know you all are much more spiritual than I am, but it's difficult for me. I'm confessing, yeah? Sometimes it's hard for me, especially if I don't have some of the wisdom like Brother Taylor had. He could go through there and figure out what all them cubits meant, and he could tell about the tabernacle. When I'm wading through them building the tabernacle, it's hard. My eyes are like, yeah? Now, that is a... I don't even count that an affliction, but I'm trying to explain there is a heaviness sometimes. It's hard when we lose a loved one. It's hard when we lose a job. It's hard when we get injured. It's hard when we go to the doctor and he gives us the results of our tests. It's hard when our eyesight starts to go fade away. It's hard when the old bones start get cracking. And it's hard to move around, yeah? It's hard when you gotta use a cane or push a Batmobile around. It's hard. And you can get heavy. You can suffer a little bit of heaviness. But Peter says, wherein we greatly rejoice. Why? Because we know that we're going to get our eyesight back.
Amen.
We know that we're going to get our vitality back, our energy back. We know that we're going to have a new body and we're going to be like Christ in heaven. We know that.
Amen.
And because we know that, even though we are in heaviness, we can rejoice.
Amen.
And that's what Peter is talking about here. Look over in Psalm 119, verse 28. Aren't you glad you have the Word of God?
Amen.
Isn't that an amazing grace that God gives us His Word in our language where we can read it?
Thank you,
Lord. That's simply amazing. This whole chapter in Psalm 119 is talking about the Word of God. And listen to what the psalmist says. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. You know, like standing out here in this heat and you're just starting to melt. He says, my soul is melting. I am so weary and I'm so burdened. It just seems like it's melting. There's no strength to it. But then what he said, look what he says. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. You know what the word of God can be?
Amen.
It can be a strengthener.
Yes.
It can put cold all around you when you're melting. It can give you hope when you're discouraged.
Amen.
It can give you joy when you're in manifold temptations.
Amen.
It can cause you to rejoice when all everyone about you is complaining because you see the end.
Amen.
You have the promises of God.
Yeah.
Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Yeah? How many of you have children?
Amen.
Do your children ever get the poochy lip disease? You tell them they can't go outside, they got to do their homework, and they go, yeah? That heaviness. Poor me. And they just kind of start walking around like this. Yeah? You tell them to take out the trash, they take out the trash, but it's like kind of like this. They do the dishes, but they're fighting with their brother or their sister because they don't think they're doing enough. Yeah? Heaviness. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But, a good word maketh it glad. And we got a good word from the Lord. We got a promise from a God that cannot lie. Boy, if we can really believe this, if we can encourage one another and exhort one another to believe these scriptures, then we could have a good attitude when all about us are stooping and moaning and groaning and got the poochy lip disease and complaining and whatnot and the heaviness. Man, I go to work every day with people that come in and you could just see the depression on them. You can just, it just seeping out of them. And you know what I'm determined to do when I go to work? Rejoice!
Amen.
I said, today's the day! Yeah. And they're saying, hey, oh, it's Friday, it's finally Friday. I said, don't worry, Sunday's coming. You'll be alright, Sunday's coming. They still haven't figured it out. I give them every day. One day they're going to ask me, what are you talking about? Why do you always say, don't worry, Sunday's coming? Well, because it is coming. And Sunday was Resurrection Day.
Amen.
And if you ever get a hold of the resurrection, then your life can change.
Yeah, amen.
I do like it when they ask me, why are you always happy?
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to be resurrected.
Amen.
The same God that resurrected my Lord Jesus Christ is going to resurrect me.
Amen.
Why are you always happy? Because this is just a season.
Yeah.
Just a moment of time. One day I'm going to be free from Wells Fargo. And you're going to be free from whatever burdens you have.
Yeah, amen.
We're going to have a new job in heaven.
Yeah.
All right. Though you're in heaviness, look what he says here, wherein ye rejoice.
Great.
Oh, I skipped a word, didn't I, Lindo? You caught that, didn't you? Wherein, thank you, Lindo, for helping me. I'll pay you later. Wherein ye greatly rejoice.
Amen.
He doesn't just say we rejoice, that's a good thing. But he adds a modifier on there. He says we greatly rejoice. How can you greatly rejoice when you're in manifold temptations? When there's heaviness of soul and there's a stooping of the body and there's a poochy lip on the lips. How can you greatly rejoice? You can only do it with an attitude of faith.
Amen.
By hearing the good word from the Lord and believing His promises and looking up unto Him. And when you can hear His promises and look up to Him and see that city not built with hands and know you're going there, then you can get through the trials of afflictions that afflict you. That is what Peter is saying. Greatly rejoice. You have your Bibles, look in Isaiah 61:10. The prophet says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
It's a matter of the will. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Has He clothed you with the garments of salvation? Has He created with you in you a new man? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Then I will greatly rejoice, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. I will greatly rejoice. May God give us the faith to take these promises and make it effectual in our lives so that we can not only rejoice, but greatly rejoice.
Yes. Amen.
And remember, brethren, really, our affliction is really, really light.
Right. Yes.
So Paul can say, you know, my light affliction. We would have to say our really, 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 really light affliction.
Yeah? Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
I mean, all of us are pretty healthy, aren't we?
Thank you, Lord.
I wore short sleeves to work this week, and all my coworkers said, "Are you losing weight?" They finally saw my skinny arms. So, previously, they only saw my volleyball here. But listen, we as Americans, we ought to be rejoicing all the time. If we didn't have Christ, we ought to rejoice as Americans. We are the greatest nation that the world has ever seen. We have tremendous blessings just on the physical aspect of it. But you, sitting here this morning, not only are you American, but you're a citizen of heaven.
Yeah.
How can we not rejoice? How does that song go? It just slipped my mind. The abundance of blessings. More and more, there's a song that's around that I can't think of it is. It's in my head there. I can see it swimming, but I can't grab the words. More and more blessings, the abundant blessings. He giveth more grace. It just keeps on coming.
Yeah, amen.
How does it say over there in John? Everlasting springs, yeah? Springing up into eternal life. That's what we are. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout! O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. What a thing that Peter got to experience. He saw the king riding into Jerusalem on that ass. He saw prophecy fulfilled in his very eyes.
Amen.
And he's writing to these brethren. He says, hey, you haven't seen him. I have, but you believe even though you haven't seen him. Therefore, rejoice. No, greatly rejoice.
Amen.
Why? Your salvation's coming.
Yeah.
You have an inheritance. Look in Romans in chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There is no peace for the wicked. You can't be justified by your religion or sacraments or efforts or baptisms or whatever, but you can be justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you are, there's peace that passeth all understanding. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
Are you rejoicing?
Yeah.
I thank God that I have an opportunity to meet with some brethren. This is the purpose of, one of the purposes of the church, to meet with brethren that are going to exhort me and remind me and reprove me and rebuke me to focus my attention off of the temporal things and back on to our Christ and our Savior and back to listening to the promises of God instead of the lies of the devil, the lies of this world, the falsehood and the darkness that bring me back into that light and to walk in that light and walk in that new man, the Spirit of God. I'm thank God for the church.
Amen.
There's a practical aspect of the church that is real. Because we get so burdened by the complaining of this world that it's easy to slip into the old man and just walk in the old man complaining like everybody else does. Isn't it good to be around people that don't swear and curse and take God's name in vain and talking about the vanities of this life and are opening up the book of books and telling us about the promises of God and the joy that's coming and the salvation that's coming? Isn't that good?
Amen.
Why? I just don't understand some people. Well, I do. I do understand that for them, church is a burden.
Right.
They just haven't got to the place that they haven't seen it yet. Because then if you ever see it, it's not a burden.
Amen.
It's an opportunity.
Amen.
Gathering in the name of Christ. He promised where two or more are gathered in His name, He would be amongst them.
Amen.
Look at Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Maybe you can't rejoice in your circumstance. Well, rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't change.
Right.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. His promises haven't changed. His character hasn't changed. He's still the same.
Amen.
Your circumstances may go up and down, but rejoice in Him.
Amen.
Janice and I have told you when we were in Poland, the Polish weathermen or ladies would tell you or prophesy how you're going to feel today based on the weather, based on the barometer. Oh, you're going to be depressed today because, you know, the barometer's falling, you know. I'm thinking, what's going on? The weatherman does not determine whether you can rejoice or not. Did you know you can rejoice when snow is falling? Did you know you can rejoice when snow is melting? Did you know you can rejoice when it's 110 degrees out and 99.9% humidity? You can rejoice? And did you know it's an opportunity to thank God for air conditioning?
Amen.
Yeah? Aren't you glad that, you know, we invested a little bit of money and put air conditioning here? We could turn it off and open up the windows and give everybody a fan. Could you still rejoice then? Well, shall we test them, Bill? David, turn off that thing. We're going to, our great trial of affliction, we're going to see if we, this is a test.
No.
Linda always skipped school on test day. I know he did. I'm not going to school today. There's a test. But you know what I mean, right? Did you know there were generations that lived without air conditioning? Do you think they ever rejoiced? If they knew Christ, they could rejoice for certain. They could greatly rejoice even though they're melting. Yeah. Hey, did you know you can rejoice when it's 32 degrees below zero and you're standing on a street corner preaching the gospel with your parka and your boots and your gloves and your Bible in your hand, and it's very hard to turn the pages because they're almost frozen together? You can still rejoice. Why? Because you're not looking at the temporal. You're looking at Christ. You're not governed by the experience. You're governed by the Spirit of God and His promises. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, how long should rejoice? Paul says, rejoice evermore. That's a long time. Peter says, whom ye have not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with what? With joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
God help us to get faith.
Amen.
God help us to put on the eyeglasses of faith to see the promises of God. God help us to understand, was it Elijah? He said, Lord, open my servant's eyes. He just doesn't understand. He's all concerned, anxieties. He's coming overcome with anxiety. Would you just open his eyes to see that there's more with us than there are with the enemy? And that the Lord opened that poor servant's eyes and he saw. Can you see? Can you see with the eyes of faith? Abraham did. Peter did. Paul and Silas did. It says they sang when they were down in that dungeon. They sang the praises of God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Do you know what effect it has when you can praise God in your affliction?
Yes.
It's very humbling when you see people like that. When you see people that have afflictions in their life and they're not murmuring and complaining. I'm going to write this guy's name down. I've seen him and I've watched his video several times. He was born, listen to me, he was born with no arms. I can't even imagine being without one arm. I could barely imagine, you know, with this finger here, it's a little bit hard to move, but can you imagine without an arm? No arms, no legs. His daddy set him up at the table when he grew up a little bit. He was 2 or 3 years old. His mother wanted to feed him. He said, don't feed him. He's got to learn how to do it. Some would say that's abuse. That was a blessing. Because that young man, he learned to feed himself with no arms and no legs. He wanted to commit suicide when he was about 10 years old. I would want to commit suicide when I'm 2 years old in that situation. But he did not. By the grace of God, he was saved. Saved from that, his own suicide. He tried to drown himself in the bathtub. And by the grace of God, he was not able to do it. You know what happened? He got saved. And you know what he's doing? He's traveling all around the world rejoicing. Thanking God for his situation. Thanking God for his affliction. Giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of that, brother, I'm humbled. How can I complain? And I do. I confess. God help me. How can I mumble and groan and murmur and complain about anything? About anything. When a man like that can rejoice in Christ Jesus. You know why? He's not focusing on his affliction. He's focusing on the promises of God and Christ.
Amen.
That's why we meet, brethren, because we need faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
All right. I don't want this to turn into a hostage situation. So, we will pause here with that exhortation that we're going to rejoice. How about you make a diligent effort this week to rejoice? And then by midweek, make it greatly rejoice. Yeah? Build up, you know, you can't run 5 miles the first day. Well, run a couple blocks, get your energy up, and then greatly rejoice. Get enough faith that you can say, I am going to rejoice in you, O Lord.
Amen.
And then I want to go over the words of that song that we sang. I don't know if we always pay attention. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. Some of you got more than a cottage. A little silver and a little gold. Now, that might be worth something now, but... But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet my pillow a stone, and though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own.
Amen.
Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound.
Amen.
I'm just a pilgrim in search of the city, of that city. I want a mansion, a harp, and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the street that are pure as gold.
Amen.
And there's a part of that song that's not in there that ought to be, I think. One day, we're going to be with Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I don't even think we're going to think about the pure gold or the mansion. I think we're going to be so occupied about Him that we're not going to be thinking about the other thing. We're going to be in the presence of God Almighty. That's a promise by God. We ought to rejoice. Amen. Let's take a 5-minute break, and afterwards we will continue the hostage situation.